Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Tom Fox, Assistant Administrator for Policy and Program Coordination at the U.S. Agency for International Development. And joining me is Kevin Bacon. Kevin's also a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. In this last segment, Tom, we'd like to look out to the future. So I'm wondering if you could tell us about what the future has for USAID.
My crystal ball's not real good, and my own time with AID is likely to end January 20th of 2001 because I am a presidential appointee. But I expect to stay involved somehow. As I hope I've conveyed, I care deeply about the agency and its mission. I think there are a number of huge issues. The most important of them is, can we achieve a consensus about why we have a foreign aid program and what is important about it? What taxpayers' interests are served by our having a strong foreign aid program? A lot of it has to do with what vision of American leadership do we embrace as a people. That sometimes looks like a partisan question, but I don't think it needs to be. It hasn't always been in the past. So I think that how it's played in the beginning of a new administration is going to be very important. How an attempt to achieve consensus is developed. I think you're going to see a greater relationship between AID and our foreign policy apparatus in the State Department. I think that's healthy. We've been working on it a lot this year. I think we will also see a greater synergy between how we operate and how we view the world in our bilateral program, that is to say the AID program, but also what is happening with the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund and the UN agencies and all that. And it might be that there will be more of a division of responsibilities than is currently the case. I'm not necessarily an advocate of that, but I think it might well be a conclusion that comes out of it, which will assist in the sort of specializing and not trying to do everything at once, which is, of course, what we try to do now because we are a big enough agency and have a view of ourselves that we should be able to play a leadership role in almost any situation. But there's probably a limit to what we can do. There is a limit to what we can do. So I think there's going to be some sharpening, and it's going to depend, I think, to a large degree on the effort to develop a stronger, a clearer consensus on what the role is, the importance of it, the place of it in the taxpayers' priorities that is currently the case.
There's some big things, obviously, many big forces at work in the world. Two of them that everyone talks about are globalization of, you know, the economy is globalizing. And the other is, of course, technology, and in particular the internet, and the ability that gives people anywhere in the world to begin to participate in not only intellectual exchanges but economic and other kinds of exchanges. Do you see a role for AID in dealing or helping the developing world deal with these forces of globalization and the spread of technology?
Right. Several questions embedded in that, but the we are certainly, particularly in Africa, we are deliberately trying to encourage the use of the internet as a teaching tool and as a development tool. There's a limit to what we can do there, but that is, I think, going to be viewed at the end of our time as a legacy of particularly the last few years here of trying to use the internet as a development tool and to spread its use. It is likely to be a major topic of discussion among the group of seven leaders in Okinawa in July about how all of the major donor countries can cooperate on that field. So I think that's a very promising area, particularly in the use of internet. As to the broader question about globalization, our particular role in that, particularly if you're talking about economic globalization, is in helping developing countries better participate and better benefit from globalization. By that, it means do they have financial systems and transparency systems that can withstand the kinds of pressures and speed that takes place in the moving around of money and ideas? Do they have an institutional and a policy base that allows them to take advantage of it? Do they have it in a way that will allow for some equitable distribution of the benefits and not simply those that are the most ready to take advantage of the immediate opportunities that come from globalization? So a capacity building role is what I think our niche is in that. It is both the private sector and the multilaterals that are the more direct players in the movement around of money and so forth. But the capacity building is a particular niche of ours and a very important one.
What about the future of things like managing for results or even GPRA? I mean, they were sort of born in the Clinton administration and shortly it'll be coming to an end and people wonder, will they continue or should they?
I think they're here to stay. I don't think the GPRA has yet been fully institutionalized within the whole of the Congress. It is part of the Congress that supports it very strongly and others that would like to sort of stick with the same old way of doing things. But I think that is going to continue to evolve. It's clearly going to be a very, very important thing for AID, the GPRA. We've got it so much now institutionalized in our own reporting and measurement systems that we're not going to walk away from it. We're still learning from it. It's still hard sometimes, but we've made a huge institutional investment in taking advantage of GPRA without getting so lost in it that we do get confused. I just learned before coming here that Senator Thompson, who is the father, really, of GPRA, announced that our annual performance report for 1999 was the best of all federal agencies. That was just announced this noon. I mean, that's a huge tribute to our agency, and they particularly cited the customer focus, the forward-looking quality of it, as well as the transparency of it. So, no, I think our commitment to that is clear. I would be very surprised that if a new administration, whether it's Democratic or Republican, would walk away from a focus on trying to make government work better and to use the principles of the private sector re-engineering as a basis of that. Certainly, it's a major focus, obviously, of the vice president. But my understanding is of Governor Bush's administration in Texas, he's results-oriented as well. So I think the focus on how to make the government work better for both the efficiency of the government overall, but also for the service to the taxpayer, is here to stay. And it's a much more constructive way of looking at government than simply bad-mouthing it, which all too often has been current in political mm-hmm. dialogue.
One question is, as the change of administration comes upon us, what kind of advice would you give your successor in terms of helping her or him succeed in a post similar to the one you've filled for the last 3 years?
The beginning of a new administration is always a wonderful opportunity for new ideas. And similarly, toward the end of an administration is much harder because you have no sense that there's going to be some sustainability in what you might want to initiate. So I think it's terribly important that whoever comes into AID as our generation leaves, that they come with a vision and with the courage to try to support it even against all of the many obstacles that are going to be there to any significant change. And really stick with it, and because change is needed. Consensus must come. We waste too much time mm-hmm. now in trying to overcome the absence of consensus.
Well, how about some lessons learned for those organizations that are not as successful with their GPRA plans as you've been?
I think the important thing is to view GPRA as an opportunity. That it's not an imposition from the Congress. It is rather an opportunity to take advantage of management principles that have been fully established in other sectors of our society. And all of it won't work. And to be very deliberate about what you're going to build on, what you're going to capitalize on and use, and what you are going to only sort of almost put to the side, but do the minimum. In other words, pick and choose where you're going to take advantage of the tools that GPRA provides.
And is there a time frame they should understand as well in terms of how long it takes to really kind of get your hands around it?
I think it took us 4 years. But all agencies now have gone through a learning process and are much wiser. We actually started earlier and submitted these annual performance reports and plans earlier than others mm-hmm. just to get practice. And so this one that we just were cited as number one was the first official one.
Well, great. But I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank you, Tom, for spending time with us tonight. Kevin and I enjoyed our conversation very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, conversations with government leaders. To learn more about the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.